You see, praise the Lord. You ready for the word this morning? Amen. Let's say this together, our Father. In the name of your Son Jesus. In this service, we welcome all the revelation of the written word that comes as we listen to the teaching of your word in these times of supernatural harvest by your spirit. We align ourselves with your word and the move of your spirit. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. This morning and next week, I believe, other weeks maybe, we'll look at what happened on the day of Pentecost. I did study this book by E.W. Kenyon, what happened, another what happened, from the cross to the throne. And so he had this portion of it, what Satan saw on the day of Pentecost, E.W. Kenyon, what Satan saw on the day of Pentecost. I must have read that, I think 26 years ago, and what blessing it was. And I've taught the teaching before, what Satan saw on the day of Pentecost, and but that's not the title today, so you don't write what Satan saw on the day of Pentecost. I said, what happened? Amen. So we're going to look at what God saw, what Satan saw, and what men saw. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. More so, you call yourself Pentecostal Christian? Are you a Pentecostal Christian? Maybe. So Matthew 28, we have some things to look at this morning. Matthew 28. Like I always say, when you're done, don't treat church meetings like events. Church meetings are mandate meetings. You attend to get a mandate. God doesn't excite for excitement's sake. He gives you a mandate. So what do you do afterwards? Oh, we just had a great time. Oh, what a great time. We had a blessed time in church. That's not the believer's life. You hear the word to do the word. You don't hear the word to know the word alone. You hear the word to do the word. So meeting like believer's convention is a mandate time. You get a mandate from God in his word. You there? Matthew's Gospel 28. Okay, good. It says, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, the words in there we pay attention to. And that's the word, teach all nations, or make disciples. The Greek word there, and we say the reason for mentioning the Greek is because the Bible we have today is in English language. And in fact, some of us have old English, just like myself, and the book we're reading from is originally Greek. And the one originally Greek is originally Hebrew, which is the Old Testament as we refer to it. So, when we cross over, and I told you that every teacher of scripture, every pastor, is a translator. He is meant to translate words that are understandable in today's language. So, when it says teach all nations there, the word is make disciples, mathetuo, in the Greek, M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O, which means to train people. Like we have apprentice. When you say someone is an apprentice. For example, some of us who went to learn, we don't call it tailoring again, it's now called what? You are a tailor. I'm a fashion designer. In fact, someone says stylist. Even those who make hair don't say hairdresser now. They say stylist. Is that it? You are making air. But it's alright, it's alright. You know, that's another diamond in our world. Right? You just bring it to your world, right? So, how did I get here? Okay, so if you're learning stylist, you go to a place and they begin to train you how to make the air. Right? You take some time so that you can do it too. So the essence of discipleship is so that you can also do it as well. Apprenticeship. That's the word disciples. It's not just somebody who follows you to church. Disciple is not someone who follows you to church, even though that's the beginning of the process. Disciple is somebody who is able to lead others the same way, eventually. So, he says, to teach, verse 20, which shows you that's how it's going to be done. To teach, didasko. To teach means to explain and to educate. Yesterday we were having the cell leaders conference, the very first one we had because of our new cell leaders. And I said to them that a cell leader or a pastor is an educator. I told them yesterday, I said, you're a school. You must be such a person that you can teach, explain, and also be the example. If I remember that I sang my school song. Some of you just have to hear it, right? Part of the doctrine. Government College of Ibadan has a wonderful school song. Many of you don't have school songs. I remember there's a school like that, Abeokuta Grammar School. Their school song is in Yoruba. Abeokuta Ilu Omo. School song. Some of you are going to get angry right now. Walk in the Spirit. So the second stanza of my school song says, service to others, not to self. Consideration for our nation first, by our examples and not by precept. So it's not just preaching, you also show. So when it says make disciples, it's not just teach, it's also to show the example. All right, very good. So the 20 says to teach, instruct, educate. Now, where do you educate from? Do you educate just from your experiences? No. You educate from the scriptures. And we've said that many times. That every time Jesus is speaking, teaching, or acting, is acting from Genesis to Malachi. Is that very clear? And I know you don't call that Old Testament anymore, right? It's no longer Old Testament. It's simply the Word of God. Is that very clear? So it's the Word of God. Because Paul tells us that every scripture is inspired by God. 2 Timothy 3:16, for prophecy, for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness. Alright? It's, inspired by God. Theonistos in the Greek, which means God breathed it out for the purpose of teaching, for the purpose of correction, conviction, and instruction in righteousness. Very good. So Jesus, every time he is teaching, he's not talking from the head, he's talking from the written word. And you know, something that should get your attention is in the history of the temptation of Jesus. You know, the three times Satan came at him, you know, he isn't talking outside the written word. He says, it is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Which means that the written word is the basis of all communication, all experiences, and all the teachings of Jesus. Very good. So, now we said that in this experience, which is what happened to Jesus the very last 40 days, as it were, what was he doing? Luke 24, 25, 27, let me give you a background. He said to his own disciples, Cleopas and assumably his wife, he says, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. You know, Moses and all the prophets, 27 says, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Which means that what he was explaining in Matthew 28 here is the scriptures of the prophets, or what we refer to today as the Old Testament scriptures. In verse 44, he says that he came and spoke to them saying, these are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled. Pay attention. Which were written where? Luke 24:44. In the law of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. 39 books. It's teaching from 39 books. Then verse 45 says, he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. So every teaching of Jesus is explained from Genesis to Malachi. I told you, words of what we refer to as the epistles of the New Testament carry the stories, the narratives, the themes, the experiences of Genesis to Malachi. So every text of the four Gospels, every text of the book of Acts, every text of Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, Ephesians, pardon me, Titus, all those, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Philemon, every text you read has its corroboration, narration between Genesis to Malachi. In other words, when you are reading the four Gospels, you are reading the Old Testament. When you are reading the Old Testament, you are reading into the four Gospels and the epistles. When we say the Old Testament, I know you know what I mean by that. So he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 45. In other words, when Jesus is saying to make disciples, he's saying make disciples of the truth revealed between Genesis to Malachi. In other words, discipleship is to learn Genesis to Malachi. Together now, of course, with the four Gospels, the book of Acts, and the epistles. Go to Matthew 11, quickly. Let's see something again about discipleship. Matthew 11. You remember, I got a text from someone, I think that was sometime in October, and the fellow has a meeting that he organizes. And so he said, I saw what you said about Matthew 11 in 28 and 29. And he says, but are we not giving, this is what he said, are we not giving a narrow interpretation to the scriptures? And I guess the problem he had was what I said to us many times, that the use of verses has compromised our meditation many times. Because we tend to stop where the verses stopped. But the writers did not write in verses. How many of you have written a letter before in chapters and verses? Dear Shebu, chapter 1. I greet you, verse 2. No, that's not done. It was done by a man who was traveling between some towns, and it's believed that this is a joke. It's not really a joke, but it looks like it. That he was traveling when he wanted to do the verses, so he was on a horse. So he just looked, pakam, verse 1. That's it. It's a joke, but it doesn't look like a joke. So, because sometimes I'm looking, why did you separate these statements? This statement should not have been separated. For example, get 20. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. And even Jesus says to us, somebody say prayer. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. You just heard now. That so and so is happening in Nigeria. Are we not laboring? He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Now raise your voice now. Father, Lord Jesus. That's one person in two. Father, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, fire. Give us rest now. Yeah. But the truth is, if you go back into what happened, it was talking about revelation knowledge in 27. It says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and to no man knows the Son but the Father. Neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. Then 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what are you coming to him for? To learn. Because that's what he's talking about in 27. Is it making sense? Is it making sense there? To know. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, you will find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's talking about learning, mantano, to learn. The yoke, there's a yoke of discipleship. The yoke to learn. It's called the relationship between a teacher and a student. Take my yoke upon you. My burden, he says, is like my yoke is easy. In other words, revelation of the word, all right, is light, and then it's also easy. He's not talking about solving your commercial problems or emotional distress. That's not what he's referring to here. Is that okay? Is that very clear? So the guy said, is that not so narrow? I said, I didn't make it narrow. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. So Jesus is teaching from the scriptures. We said that earlier. So our subject today is what happened on the day of Pentecost. What happened? We many of us read. Now when Acts 2 verse 1. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come. And so we derive the word Pentecostalism. And we say, what is Pentecostalism? It's speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's speaking in tongues. I remember years ago, there was a song by Reverend Panam Pasi Paul. Jesus is coming back again. He is coming and he shall reign. Who knows that song? Ay-ya-ya. Jesus is coming again. So he now says something. He's not a Catholic, no. He's not a Baptist, no. He is coming and he shall... That song was 94 or so. Then he got to a point and said, he's not a Baptist. He's not a Pentecostal. So one of my friends said, no, that's not true. He said, he's a Pentecostal. So we began to argue. He said, no. The Pentecostal, because, and then we began to talk and we argued over nothing. At the end of the day, because, you know, the concept of being a Pentecostal is believed that somebody who speaks in tongues. Why? Because the day of Pentecost was the day they spoke in tongues. But there were other days they spoke in tongues that was not the day of Pentecost. No. That particular day, the day of Pentecost. Now, the truth is, look at something, so you get it. Acts 2 1. Now, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, so we narrow down the word Pentecostal to the speaking in tongues. But Pentecost is not a spiritual word. Amen. Pentecost means 50. How many of you use the word golden anniversary, silver anniversary, jubilee, then diamond anniversary? You know that? Golden is, I think, 50. Diamond is, what's 25? Silver. Then, golden, 50, diamond. No, golden is 50. Silver is 25. Diamond is 60. There was the other one. Itana. You know. So, they're just, it's an anniversary. So when you say Pentecost, Pentecost simply means 50 days. It doesn't mean speaking in tongues. So take away that ignorance first. 50 days after Passover. That means the Passover feast of the Jews, 49 days after is the 50th day, so it's called Pentecost. Pente means, when you say Pentateuch, it means 5. Pentecost means 50. So it's not a spiritual word. It's only used for a spiritual implication. So, when the Jews celebrate Passover, and if you go back to the four Gospels, I'm giving you a background before we go to the scriptures properly, Jesus was crucified on Passover. Now, he was crucified on Passover, raised from the dead 3 days after. Then he spent 40 days to teach his disciples according to Luke's rendering in Acts 1, 2, and 3. So that means 42 days or thereabouts. So a week afterwards is what happened in Acts 2:1-4. So in other words, the reason why Luke said now when the day of Pentecost was fully come is to just tell you the number of days. Because he told you he died during Passover. He's raised from the dead during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is the same week on a Sunday or maybe Monday, not relevant. But then he says, then he spends 40 days with disciples, making about 42 days. So it's trying to tell you that between when Jesus' ascension, as it were, Acts 1:9-11 happened, and Acts 2:1, that they have spent 7 days together. That's what he's just talking about. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. That's what he's referring to. Now, if you go back to the book of Acts again, look at Acts 20. You'll discover that that phrase, Pentecost, is a ceremony that the Jews often, you know, have. Acts 20:16. Now, Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted to it possible for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. Because it's a day. It's a ceremony. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 8. But I'll tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. It's not until speaking in tongues. Until Pentecost. Until. So it's a day in their calendar. Let me see if you're following what I'm saying here. Is it making sense to you? Now, it's a day in their calendar. So Pentecost was a feast. A feast. Now the truth is, how important is our study of that feast? Looking carefully now. Jesus said in Luke's Gospel 24, verse 27, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Luke's Gospel 24:27. Dermenu means he interpreted it. Luke's Gospel 24:44. Luke's Gospel 24:44. These are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So that means he fulfills the scriptures. Genesis, Mark, John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they who testify of me. You will come to me that you may have life. John 5:44. Think not I've come to accuse you before the Father. There's one which accuses you before the Father. Moses in whom you trust. For as you believe Moses, you will have believed my, you will have believed me, pardon me. Verse 46. For he wrote of me. He wrote of me. 47. You do not believe my words because you didn't believe his writings. So, if Pentecost was in the writings of Moses, which we're about to find out, then Pentecost must have been fulfilled by Jesus. Now, before we go there, I said something earlier. I said, Jesus died at Passover. In other words, he chose Passover to die. And that's why at the table, when they were eating Passover, which we have transfigured into communion service. He took the bread and he says, this is my body broken for you. This is my blood. He chose Passover to die. He chose Passover to die and he rose. Then, what then was the significance of the day of Pentecost? If something happened on the day of Pentecost, or that feast of Pentecost, what was the significance? Oh, to speak in tongues. No. We're going to find out. So we need to go back to the scriptures and find out from where the concept of Pentecost was derived to understand its significance. Am I making sense? All right, good. So let's go to Leviticus 23, where you have the feasts. Leviticus 23. Now, the first thing you're going to read, where you're going to read the word Pentecost, is verse 15. Let's read it together. Verse 15, let's go. And you shall count unto you from tomorrow after the Sabbath, from that day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering. How many Sabbaths? Seven shall be complete. Go on, verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number what? 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering to the Lord. Can you see it now? Seven Sabbath means 7 weeks, right? Come on. Okay, so the 50th day. So this is where you got that concept of Pentecost. Seventh Sabbath. So now let's read verse 1 of it. Let's look at it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, even these are my feasts. Now, the truth is, the Lord said to him, this is a feast that should be celebrated. But again, we are compromised. We're compromised with the use of verses, because the verses will make it difficult for us to get the full story. So now, go to chapter 22, verse 33. I'm going to talk from 32. Neither shall you profane my holy name, but I'll be allowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord that allows you, which is amongst them, that is when they come together. I will be kept sacred. Now, look at the next statement. Let's take 33 together. That brought you out of the land. Let's take it. Come on, let's go. That brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am your Lord. That brought you out. Which means that the background of the feast is God's deliverance. That brought you out. Yatsah in the Hebrew. Y-A-T-S-A. A word you are going to see in Exodus 6 and verse 7. That brought you out. So there's a reference point. Exodus 6. And verse 7. I will take you to me for a people. I will be to you a God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. The burdens. Look at verse 3 of Exodus 6. Or verse 2. I am the Lord. I appeared unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by the name God Almighty, but by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. Then look at verse 5, I've heard the groanings of the children of Israel. Verse 6, I am the Lord, I'll bring you out from under the burdens of Egyptians. I will rid you out of their bondage. I'll redeem you with a stretched out hand and with great judgment. I'll redeem you, which is the word gal, G-A-A-L. What does it mean to redeem? I've explained this to you over and over again. That when you use the word redeem or redemption, the Greek was louder with a price paid. But it's narrow. Maybe I'm the one using that now. Narrow. It doesn't give it the whole picture. The word redemption, like I've always told you, words are used, God uses human language within human culture to communicate his own word. So the word redeem or redemption is not a spiritual word. It's a cultural word, a word that had been in existence before the Bible was written, before Moses himself. It's a word that is used for kinsmen, a next of kin action. And you see that phrase in Genesis 48:16. Of course, what we just read now, Exodus 6 verse 6, Exodus 15, Exodus 15 verse 3, oh, verse 13, redeemed, Leviticus 25:25. Now, it's used for a kinsman, somebody who is your relative or your blood relative, or your spouse who acts on your behalf. So a redeemer is first family or one who wants to be family. So in the culture of the word, where the word Gal was derived from, is to avenge for a kinsman, to buy back a relative's property, or to marry the wife of a kinsman, or to purchase on behalf of. And I usually use the story of how my father, my late dad, when I went to his bank. And then he had stuff that he had kept there. So they asked me, are you his next of kin? Which means when he wrote within the system, he wrote the next of kin, put my name there. We shared the same name. So they said, okay, so you can claim his property. So what I did there was to redeem, which is what belonged to him. So the concept of that is in Genesis 15, where God told Abraham, who was in covenant with him, Berith in Hebrew, and he says, your seed shall be in the land of strangers for over 400 years. When the cup of iniquity of Amorites is full, I will go there and then I'll deliver them. Which means that what Abraham will have done, God does on his behalf. That's the word redemption. Kinsman redeemer. So the basis of the feast is God's redemption. The basis of the feast is God's redemption. Now, before we proceed further, look at the first statement in Leviticus 23 once again. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Sometimes I used to wonder, why did the Lord said saying? The Lord said. Why did he say the Lord said? And then proceed to the statement. He says, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying. Like I've always said, pay attention to what? Details. Pay attention to what? Details. Now, the background of Leviticus 23 verse 1 is what? Leviticus 22 verse 33. Can you see it? Now, because I set you free from Egypt, which is the event, because I set you free from Egypt, because I took you out of bondage, the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto him, saying. So the basis of Leviticus 23 verse 2 downwards is Leviticus 22 verse 33. Now, look at the word, he spake unto him, saying. There are two different words in there. What is the Lord said to Moses is the word dabar, D-A-B-A-R. And then it says, saying, the word amar, A-M-M-E-R, is not a repetition. Now, when you use dabar, oftentimes, you are talking about the subject matter, where the Greek now calls logos. Now, put that in mind and go to Luke 24:44. Jesus came unto them speaking, these are the words, logos, which I said unto you. These are the words which I said unto you. This is the substance of the things I said. This is the reason why I said it. So logos is used for the reason and the basis. It's like saying logos and rhema. Really, they're just grammatical. But in this instance, it says, this is the basis why God said to Moses. Because he rescued you from Egypt, he now says to you. So, what is the logos? What's the logos? What's the logos? I didn't hear you. I didn't hear anything, actually. Huh? Yeah, I get that part. I'm saying, what is the logos now? Go to the logos. Huh? The event in Egypt, right? That's the logos. That's the basis, right? Right? Come on. Okay, so because of that, I'm saying this, right? Because I rescued you from Egypt, I'm now saying to you to do this. So which means that the basis of the feasts, right, is God's redemption. So because I rescued you, now I'm saying to you, speak unto children of Israel, verse 2, concerning the feasts. The word feast is the Hebrew word moed, M-O-E-D. Now, when we say feast, what comes to your own mind is birthday, wedding. We even do funeral feast. We want to open house. You have opened the house before. You have entered. You now shut it again. Well, let us open it. You know, no, that's not the that's not the basis of this word. The word feast there is the word moed, M-O-E-D. Is used for a season, a time, and a place. A season, a time, and a place. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, moed, and for days and for years. Genesis 17, and verse 21. My covenant will I establish with Isaac, with Sarah, which Sarah shall bear unto me at this set time. At this set time in the next year. Set time. Moed. Genesis 18 verse 14. Pay attention here. At the appointed time, I'll return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Appointed time. Genesis 21, verse 2. At the set time of which God has spoken to him. Exodus 18, verse 14, just a reference. Thou art seated thou alone, and other people stand by thee from morning unto evening. So it refers to a time. A timing. Exodus 13. And verse 10. Exodus 13, verse 10. Season from year to year. Just reference this now. Exodus 23, verse 15. Exodus 27, verse 21. Exodus 28, verse 43. Exodus 29, verse 4. Verse 10, verse 11, verse 30, verse 32, verse 42 and 44. So it's used for a meeting, an event, a place for a reason. A meeting, a place for a reason. So, the essence, therefore, of the feast, pay attention somewhere, is to give direction for their gatherings. When you come together, this is what you are set to talk about. When you come together, this is your emphasis. So the essence of the feast is to give focus to their gatherings. That's why, you know, we read chapter 22, verse 32 and 33. Among you, let me be allowed, sanctified among you. So when you come together, this is what should be your focus. So he reminds them, don't forget, I rescued you. So that is where you come together. You must have a focus. And the focus is based on my redemption. Who's following what I'm saying here? Come on, are you getting this? The focus is based on my redemption of you. Now the truth is, but why then do we have to go through, why a particular day and time? Again, I remind you that the audience of Leviticus 23 was not you. The audience of Leviticus 23 are a people who are given to consistent, faithful disobedience. Exodus 32. I showed you that over and over again. Moses, Exodus 32, had called them in verse 9, I've seen this people, Lord said to Moses, behold, it's a stiff-necked people. A stiff-necked people. The writer of Hebrews says that for 40 years, God proved his works with them. 40 years. So, when you have such people, you use parables. Parables to instruct them and teach them. Psalm 78 verse 2. Put your hands in Leviticus 23. So go to Psalm 78 verse 2. Praise the Lord. Are you in church? All right, good. Verse 2. Let's go. I will open my mouth. Let's go. Let's go. Everybody, let's go. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. What's a parable? Mashal. M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. In the Hebrew, it means an illustration. An illustration. An illustration. Then, pay attention. To utter dark sayings. Dark sayings is the word chida. Chida means questions, perplexing questions or puzzles. This is from the time ancient. Quedem, Q-E-D-E-M, which is from the very beginning. Now, I told you, where does dark sayings exist? Where do they exist? Huh? In God's mouth or the heart of the audience? Very good. So, God's men now will use parables. Knowing that their heart, because of their unbelief, is filled with questions, he will now use parables, illustrations. So, that means that I will begin to use physical things to illustrate spiritual things. Jesus did that in Matthew 13, Mark 4, and Luke 8, where he says, okay, the kingdom of God is likened to a sower that sows the seed. We say, okay, on the hard ground, by the wayside. But he's not talking about seeds. He's talking about the word. Why does he use seed? Because he says, seeing they cannot see, hearing they cannot hear it. So he has to use illustrations. So Moses is faced with the same issue. He wants to talk about spiritual realities. He will have to use natural things to explain. And one of the natural things he's going to use is days. 7 days times seven. Now, I told you before that the use of Sabbath is not spiritual. It's not God. The use of Sabbath is a culture they found in Egypt. The use of Sabbath is a culture they found in Egypt. And so he says, okay, if seven is completion, so seven times seven means this is the focus. This is the completion of the work that has been done. Oh, yeah, yeah. Preach word, word. Because that's what they can understand. So, he says, therefore, why does it count 49 days after? Because that's what they can understand. Now, you are not expected to do that. Praise the Lord. Is that very clear? He has to be okay. He said, okay, seven times. What? Because their heart is full of chida, dark sayings. So he counts 7 times 7. Why? Because that's the level of their reasoning. I'm sure you're getting this at all. Oh, very good. So, it go back to Leviticus 23. So let's lay some ground rules. So the essence of the feast is their gatherings, right? When they come together, how they must honor God. So how must they honor God? Look again, verse 2 again. The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even as my feast. The word convocation is the word mikra. M-I-Q-R-A. Mikra simply means to assemble. Exodus 12 verse 16. To assemble. To come together. Exodus 12 verse 16. Holy convocation. To come together. It says you will proclaim, which is the word quara. Q-A-R-A. It's a very relevant term. Quara. Q-A-R-A. Now before we go there, the word mikra, M-I-Q-R-A, which is the word convocation, also deals with to meet, one, also to rehearse a coming event, a rehearsal of a coming event. A rehearsal of a coming event, a celebration of a coming event. Now the word to proclaim means to call. I'll take your attention back to a few things within the Old Testament text. For example, Genesis 1:5 says God called the night and called the day. Called, quara. Genesis 2:19, 20 and 23. Adam himself called the animals to call. Genesis 3:9, God called out to man. This is a phrase that is for the preaching of the gospel, the announcement of what God has done or he's doing. Paul will interpret that in 2 Corinthians 4:3. If our gospel be heed, is he to them who are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. He says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine on their hearts. Pay attention here. God who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Quara. He says, has caused that same light, to shine in the face of Jesus Christ. Then he says, we preach not ourselves. Verse 5. But Jesus Christ. And we your servants for Christ's sake. So God calling out light out of darkness is the preaching of what? The preaching of what? The gospel by his spirit. The word quara. So Paul will explore that phrase in 1 Corinthians 11:26. A very vital term. When he says, when you eat the bread and take the wine, you show the Lord's death till he comes. The word show in 1 Corinthians 11:26 is the word katagelo. Katagelo. K-A-T-A-G-E-L-L-O. K-A-T-A-G-E-L-L-O. A word that is used in New Testament Greek for the preaching of the gospel. Acts 3:24. Acts 4:2. Acts 13 verse 5 and 38. I'll take that again. Acts 3:24. Acts 4 verse 2. Acts 13 verse 5. Acts 13 verse 38. I'm still saying. Acts 15:36, Acts 16:17, Acts 16:21, Acts 17 verse 3, verse 13 and 23, Acts 26:23. I'll take it all over again. Acts 3:24, katagelo. Acts 4 verse 2, Acts 13 verse 5, Acts 13 verse 38, Acts 15 verse 36, Acts 16 verse 17, Acts 16 verse 21. Acts 17 verse 3, Acts 17 verse 13 and 23, Acts 26 verse 23. Now precisely Paul's letters. Romans 1 8. Romans 1 8. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 14. Philippians 1 17 and 18. Colossians 1 28. I'll take that again. Paul's letters. Romans 1 8. 1 Corinthians 2 1. 1 Corinthians 9 14. Philippians 1 17. Philippians 1:18, Colossians 1:28. Paul is saying those feasts were meant for the preaching of the gospel. You show the Lord's death till he comes. A horistic term, which means that the essence of the what we now use as communion, but as a Passover, was to show the Lord's death till what? He comes. Remember we said the word mikra is to rehearse a coming event. Can you remember all that now? Who's following this? Come on. Are you following that? No, we're reading the old and new together. Is that very clear? Very good. So, when you say to proclaim the feast, it's the preaching of the gospel, right? Is that it? So, which means Moses uses physical emblems to show them their work of what? Announcing what? The gospel. The Lord's death till he comes. And there are people today who they eat what they call the communion. When we talk like this, some people get really furious. And the truth is, it really doesn't matter. Your anger doesn't show anything. You know, sometimes I'm just angry. Say, are you now saying that communion that we have been eating before you were born is not right? He has not even listened. He has not even paid attention. He just wants to make a point. I said, take it easy. Nobody is going to remove the bread from your mouth or the wine. But let's listen. When Paul says to show the Lord's death, Paul was simply teaching from the text we just read that the reason for that feast was to preach the Lord's death till he came in the four Gospels. Come on. Is it making sense? Let me see how you're following that. So, here we are. Go back to Leviticus 23. Are you learning something? Okay. So, it says, when you come together, alright? The way you are going to glorify God is to what? To proclaim his promise. Come on. Is it making sense? You come together. The way you keep him sacred is to proclaim his promise. We keep reading. Verse 4. These are the feasts. Okay, let's say 3. 6 days you shall walk. The work should be done. The 7 day is the Sabbath of rest. And holy convocation you shall do no work. Wherein is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. These are the feasts of the Lord. Even holy convocation which are proclaimed in their seasons. Let's take verse 5 together. In the 14th day of the first month. At evening is the Lord's Passover. Why does he start with Passover? Because the Passover is the Logos. Is that clear? The Passover is the Logos. Again, which feast did Jesus die? Is it making sense? He chose the Passover. The Passover is an event that was turned to a meal, which means, pay attention, we are going to receive deliverance in our hearts and proclaim with our mouth. That is why they were eating it. We are going to receive it. We receive salvation. We don't become salvation. We don't do salvation. We eat it. Jesus died in a feast, which means his work has become a meal, food to us. Look at verse 5. He said, it is the Lord's Passover. Why does he add the Lord? Yahweh Pesach, P-E-S-A-C-H. Again, look up. Passover is not a spiritual word. In fact, today, till today in Egypt, they still celebrate Passover. It's a feast of their idols. Don't forget, God's word is in human. So, by saying it is the Lord's Passover, distinguish this from what you do to your idols. Is it making sense? The Lord's Pesach. Exodus 12, verse 11, verse 21, 27, 43. It means to skip over you. Exemption. The word Pesach, where you have the word Passover, P-E-S-A-C-H, is from the word Pakash, P-A-C-A-C-H, which means to skip over, to skip, to jump over the Lord's Passover, which is a word used for preservation, safety, and deliverance. Look at Exodus 12 and 13. Learning something? Are you learning something? Exodus 12, 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, we've done this study for you exhaustively. You pick understands our word, our readers, volume 3. And this is our God. And also this gospel. We've explained, I will destroy to you. That's God not destroying, actually. Now look at 23, so you know it's not a contradiction. Let's take 23, Exodus 12 together. Let's go. For the Lord, for the Lord will pass through to smite who? And when he sees the blood upon the lintel, go on, and the two disciples, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come. Can you see that? So 23 explains it to you. When he says, I will pass through, I won't allow the destroyer. There are two personalities in there. When God says, I will destroy, it means I will not save. I can't save you from the destroyer. There is a destroyer. And God says, I can't save you. Why can't he save? Because of disobedience. Not that he doesn't want to. So, it is a feast of deliverance. Deliverance, 27. It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered the houses, and the people bowed their heads and worshipped. So which means, the basis of gathering is what? To what? To proclaim God's salvation. Who's following what I'm saying here now? Is it making sense? When we come together, how do we keep this meeting sacred? How? To what? Come on, talk to me. How do we keep God sacred, or this meeting sacred? By proclaiming what? So the reason for church meetings is to celebrate, to proclaim, to announce God's redemption. Hallelujah. Now, they had to do it when? Seventh day of the seventh day. You don't need that, right? You don't need that, right? Because why? You are born again. So, we do this every day. We celebrate God's redemption. Every time we come together, just like we sang this morning, but for your grace, I will not be saved. You know, years ago, I used to be the associate pastor of a church. And so, the senior pastor who allowed me to be the associate pastor by his grace, we had this pastor's meeting. So, he had a complaint. He said, Pastor Shelton, thank you for the teaching of the word. You always point us to the cross, the finished work of Christ all the time. That was some 17 years ago. He said, but you know, that's not all we need. He said, yes, that's a side of the truth. He said, we need people that will give us prophetic dimension to our present condition. That flows well. Dimension to our present condition. So, he invited one guy who was meant to be a prophet of their own, like Crete. And the guy came and he was saying, I can't remember what he said, but I shouldn't remember it. The Lord is saying, this is your day. This is your week. This is your hour. And people in the church were those. They are not used to such decrees. You get, how can you be tired of proclaiming the Lord's victory over sin and death? How? What do you think we're doing here? We're just here, to, you know, just have fun. So everybody is doing their own. The choir prepares their own songs. Just say, what song they're doing now? Ka, 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 ka. Oh, 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 Corona, go, Corona, come. Hey, Corona, yeah, 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 yeah. The guys are going to do drama. I say, you know, and they do their own. Then the pastor will come and preach. Antichrist. You don't have a right. Hallelujah. We have to keep him holy. Amen? Amen. Remember that I delivered you from the hands of the devil. We must remember it all the time. We are not tired of him. Praise the Lord. Are you there? All our songs are in that direction. Praise God. Amen. So I said, all these songs are just the same. They're just the same. You know, last week I shared Hillsong. Hillsong by a wonderful pastor, by Pastor Brian Houston. And how they said they determined that all their songs will pass through theology. So they had a pastor who will scream the song and find out whether it's according to the gospel. That's why there was no ill song. You will sing. Let me stop there. I don't want to create trouble. But the song, usually, they celebrate Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. The grace of God. The blood of Christ. Amen. The cross. Glory to God. That's how the church should be. You can't just come and say, I have a special number. Hallelujah. There was. My enemies thought I was finished. Thought I was finished yesterday. No, 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 no. It's a holy convocation. Hallelujah. Remember that I set you free from the devil. Remember I gave you eternal life. That is why we must come together. Glory to God. About the work of redemption. About the work of redemption. We are never tired of it. We are never tired of it. There was a particular time in our services, the only song we are singing was, what a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. There's a little song now. It's Pastor Doug Current. Go on YouTube, man. These are new songs. Where do you think you are? What we celebrate here is different. Hallelujah. No matter what goes on in the world, our reason for meeting will never change. Hallelujah. You don't say, what's going on now? Independence Day service. So we say, well, it's October 1st. So our church service will be Independence Day. So we come and, everybody come with your native attire. We say, come with your attire from your village. People, they don't know what they're talking about. Come with your cultural attire. Are you sure you know what they're talking about? There are some culture, when they come around, they just say, ah! Yeah. I didn't want to be careful! I didn't want to... Is it not true? So come with your... Then the Yoruba says, those ones come. What do you think you are here to do? We only celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. We don't celebrate culture here. Nations, are you there? We celebrate what he has done for all of us. He took us out of darkness into light. That's why we come together. We do this often. Praise God. You learning something? Leviticus 23. Praise God. Glory, glory, glory. What happened on the day of Pentecost? So verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. A new meat offering. A new meat offering. That is after 7 days. And then the seventh week times seven of that. What is this? 17. You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2 tenth deals. They shall be fine flour. You shall be baking with leaven, and they are the first fruits. That's why it's called the feast of the first fruits. What's first fruit? Bikurim in the Hebrew. B-I-K-K-U-R-I-M. Bikurim. First fruits of God's promise. God's land. Leviticus, sorry, Exodus 23 and verse 16. Verse 16. And the feast of harvest, pay attention. The first fruit of your labors, which are sown in the field. The feast of ingatherings in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered the labors out of the field. Verse 19. The first of the first fruit of thy land that thou bringest to the house of the Lord God, thou shalt see the kid in his mother's milk. It's from the word bakar, B-A-K-A-R, the first fruit of labor. Labor. So what is Pentecost about? Pentecost is about souls. Hallelujah. Did you hear me? It's not about tongues. Even though the tongues is part of what's going on, but it's about souls. E.W. Kenyon said, on the day of Pentecost, he said, you have tongues of fire. So because they now have the fervency to announce the gospel. T.L. Osborne said, the reason for the baptism of the Holy Ghost is soul winning. They are both correct. What happened on the day of Pentecost? First fruit simply means the signs of things to come. And so oftentimes, we pay attention on verse 1 to 4. So we call ourselves Pentecostal because we speak in tongues. Even though many of those that speak in tongues don't prophesy. Hallelujah. No, see visions. So when we celebrate our redemption, we now go to work. Is that very clear? We celebrate our redemption, we now emphasize the work that comes with it. Then, when that work comes in, pay attention. That work is now testified by the souls, the first fruits of the labor of the Spirit. Who's following what we're saying here? So what do we do in the church, in the services? One, the basis of all we do is the redemptive work of Christ. How he saved us from the devil. How he redeemed us from sin. Then, because of that, we celebrate new converts. Hallelujah. We celebrate those who have come out of darkness into light. That is Pentecost. Praise the Lord. We celebrate the first fruits. Those who are the fruits of the outreaches. We don't celebrate people's purchase of houses and cars. No, we don't. We're born again. We don't celebrate people that a member of this church is now a governor. Oh, hey, you know this man came into this church, he was an usher. Now he's the president. No! That is not why we come together. We celebrate redemption from sin. And the labors of the work of the Spirit that has brought in souls and souls and souls and souls and souls into the harvest of God's Spirit. Can I see how you're following this? What happened on the day of Pentecost was we saw the signs of things to come. The harvest of the land. The harvest of the promise. The harvest of the Spirit. I quote here. Look at Acts 2. What was the high point of the day of Pentecost? They spoke in tongues. Verse 4. There was a move of the Spirit. Verse 2 and 3. But that was not the high point. The high point of the day of Pentecost is in verse 41. Are you in church? 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. How many? 3,000 were added to the church. Is that the first fruit? Is that the harvest? The harvest of redemption. The work of the Spirit. And it didn't stop in there. Luke emphasized it. Then he continued in verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church such that should be saved. Glory to God. Why do we come together? We'll continue this next week. Why do we come together? We celebrate the work of redemption. And we celebrate the harvest of souls. The addition to the kingdom of God. So every service, every cell meeting, we must celebrate new people. Amen. Added to God's kingdom. Because this is Pentecost to us. Hallelujah. You bless this morning. Lift your hands and give God praise. Thank you. Oh, lift your hands. Give it praise.